Hello, welcome back to Tech Talk with DataBank. We're continuing our discovery series today, back with business analyst Chris Giles, who is going to talk about a concept you may or may not have heard before known as designing at the table. For those of you who are listening for the first time, Chris actually came on our very first podcast, which I'll link down below, so be sure to check that out after this. Chris, thank you so much for coming back on Tech Talk. We're so excited to have you here again.
Thanks, Megan. I'm glad to be back. I had a really good time last time, so thank you so much. These are great.
Awesome. Well, so let's get started. Designing at the table is a concept that people may or may not have heard before. Can you go over kind of what this refers to?
Absolutely. Designing at the table kind of speaks to a very common situation that occurs during the initial discovery stage or even during the sales process. And really what it is when you're kind of in discovery, elicitation, and design, kind of question and answering gets a little bit overly specific before all the business rules, process requirements, software limitations, and stuff are factored in. So kind of on the provider side of things, we know the process and we know where the design is at, but from a client perspective, a lot of times they can get overly excited and start to kind of go down the rabbit hole a little bit in order to kind of discuss how the design might be. So that's kind of designing at the table. It's really not giving everybody a chance to sit back and go, okay, we've got the requirements. Now let's choose the path. Because let's be honest, as robust as OnBase is, there's more than one way to do things typically. So that's kind of more of a best practice reflection of that.
Definitely. So I'm sure with designing at the table, there are instances where it's definitely going to put you off track, but I'm sure there's instances where it can also be good. Sometimes it might throw you off track and other times it might bring up some important suggestions. So what are some pros and cons or examples you've seen of each?
Absolutely. So, the interesting thing is, to your point, is when clients are excited, right, and they're talking about something, they have a lot of passion for it. You know, a lot of times when you get down to the end users or the people that are the process owners, they get really excited and they have a lot of ideas. But what if the sidebar conversations take away from the true validation of possibly the root cause that they're bringing to the table, right? So if our sidebar takes away from the true validation of the cause, then it gets into the design part, right? Where all of a sudden I wasn't really able to define the business rules in this topic because we had this tangent and the dialogue has maybe gone too deep. And then what happens is expectations aren't met, right? It's an emotional reaction as well. Think about this, Megan, is if we go down a road and we're like, and they're like, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? If I have to kind of stop that in its tracks by saying, well, that functionality isn't really there, or that isn't really the way we're going with that, that's kind of a negative emotional reaction, right? A situation that we want to avoid. So we want to keep that excitement, but kind of, curb the what if scenario into, okay, good. Well, let's break that down. Let's get to the root cause of what we're talking about here. So then it becomes a positive that, great, you've got a voice. I want to hear it. Let me document it, and then that will be part of my design.
Right. Definitely. So when you notice that designing at the table is actually kind of taking over the conversation and people are getting sidetracked, what can you do or what can the customer do to get the project back on track and keep everything running, but still not lose kind of some of the things that they were bringing up that might be important for later down the line?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we want the excitement, right? We want people to be excited about us coming on site and looking forward to the implementation and the picturing the solution. And, what we want to make sure is that we're not skipping ahead, right? We want to make sure we stay on track. So, it goes back to what I said earlier, which is we kind of go in with an agenda, with a plan. And what I try to do is review any type of process documents and understandings prior to even getting there. So I've got kind of a process and a plan that I'm working through. So I don't mind jumping around a little bit, but we want to make sure, as we always come back to, again, the root, the baseline, the core business requirements, business rules, exceptions, and all that stuff have to be defined clearly for me then to move ahead with the engineer to design and then move into implementation. So it's kind of that exciting, let's do this, let's have fun with this, let's be creative, but then let's reel it back in and make sure that we stay on track. So a lot of times what I'll do is is suggest, and I know I do it myself, but while I go through discovery, I take copious notes, like pages and pages of notes. So I like when the clients do the same thing. So during a discovery, not only am I notating stuff, but as a client, if they're writing down notes, possibly to this point about questions or maybe design ideas and stuff like that, I always end my discovery with kind of a closing session where I discuss any kind of gaps or openings or things that I wasn't sure of. And I love when they have stuff to bring back kind of in the same way, right? That we get to sit down and go, okay, well, I had this thought too. And what about this? That's more of a good time to have an open forum, and it doesn't take away from the actual discovery and the elicitation of requirements.
Nice. I think that's great. So a little bit different of a question, but when talking to you guys, your whole team, John, Tom, everybody, about discoveries, I've heard that you guys go about them in a couple of different ways. And you mentioned before the waterfall versus the agile processes and how you kind of move through both of those. But can you explain what those two approaches look like and how do they help combat the designing at the table pushback?
Absolutely. So typically, like, I'll keep it high level, but you know, waterfall is kind of speaks to a more defined beginning end objective of a project. Like it can be kind of set in stone to say, yeah, this is what we're going to accomplish on this project. Where agile, kind of you kind of gather the baseline requirements, and then what you do is you kind of go through kind of a milestone and gateway kind of reviews throughout the project. And what that does is it allows more of a soft approach to saying, okay, we've gotten this far. You know what? We actually are going to change our requirements a little bit, and we're going to grow this thing. So it leaves more opportunity to grow throughout the project, if that makes sense. So they're a little bit different, you know. As far as designing at the table, I mean, if you think about it, it could impact both of these situations because of the it is imperative to gather the baseline requirements. From that, we can be flexible, we can grow this, and throughout the project, whether it's a change order, whether it's a new project or a phase project, we're good with that, but that initial baseline requirements and rules and process kind of stuff, that is so vital to get the project off the ground and moving in the right direction. Think about if we got halfway through and then all of a sudden some major core things had changed, that would really impact either one of those project scenarios.
Definitely. I noticed that you mentioned change orders, and fun fact for all the podcasts.
Yeah.
We just did an episode on it. So if anyone wants to loop in on change orders,
nice.
We'll link it down below. Chris is obviously.
You know, it's funny, not to go off tangent, but you know, to me, change orders, I think they get a negative, you know, connotation. People take them negatively. I have always used them, and I think they're great because, you know, from a client perspective, we all want things documented. So if there's been a change, even if it's a $0 change order, or a reallocation of the project hours, that is a positive for everybody because the requirement is documented and the client signs off on it and we agree to it. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Definitely. Well, the change order team is totally a fan of you right now. They're going to love this part.
Right.
So expect an email from them soon.
Sweet.
Okay, well, so to wrap this up, is there any last piece of advice that you want to leave everyone with?
I absolutely do. You know, I was thinking about this this week as I was reading through this and I was, you know, kind of taking in John's blog as well. And what came to me is something as kind of a feedback on this topic was the times that I'm on site and I meet with teams that have spent the time in advance before I get there to kind of review, document, and analyze their process internally. So we talk about designing, right, in designing at the table. Well, if I've taken the time to evaluate my processes in advance, then by the time I get on site as a BA, those conversations are so much more fruitful because I can speak and they can speak directly to the requirements, right? And that's what we're talking about is let's get to the meat, let's get the baseline requirements, business rules done, then we can build off of that. So when I have clients that have spent the time to analyze and take ownership in the processes, it makes a huge difference for discovery that we can kind of get through the brass tacks pretty quickly and say, wow, okay, great. You know exactly what you're talking about. Otherwise, there is even more time on a discovery for me to kind of lead that conversation is to say, okay, why? Okay, why? Okay, why? Till we get to that root cause. So I would empower our clients to say, come to the table having addressed, analyzed, you know, thought about your processes in advance, and then we can get through that, and it will be very creative, and it will be exciting, and it gives everybody an opportunity to be excited about the project moving forward.
Right. That's great advice. I think that makes perfect sense. I will probably use that on some of our own implementations over here. I love doing podcasts. You guys have great tips, and I like am writing them down, trying to remember for when I'm writing software. Well, I think that wraps up this episode of Tech Talk. Chris, thank you so much again for coming back on and talking to us today. We love having you on.
It's likewise. I love being here. So thank you so much, Megan.
No problem. All right. Well, that ends another episode of Tech Talk with DataBank. You can find all of our episodes on YouTube on the channel DataBank IMX. So make sure to click subscribe and then ring the little bell to be alerted when new episodes are live. And give us a thumbs up if you liked this video, or comment below with topics you want to hear about. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time for more on the Discovery series and also new episodes from the Project Management series, which I will link below.